You're listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
So we're talking about being under the influence of the Holy Spirit, and we've tried to approach it with this idea of the Holy Spirit isn't scary just because you don't understand everything He does, right? And what we do is we normally in our mindset is we go in and we think, well, I don't know about this Holy Spirit stuff because it's kind of weird and it's kind of, you know, and so we get scared of it, so we begin to shun it, when in reality, God Himself is the Holy Spirit. And the thing is about God is never normal. He's never normal. When you look at the Scriptures, there's nothing normal about the Bible. It is a book chock full of abnormal, supernatural, wonderful, miraculous things. And if God was normal, He wouldn't be God. So we got to make sure today we have the mindset of, I'm not looking for everything to be normal. What I get might be a little bit weird, but that's okay. That's okay. So we want to talk to you today, and I want to tell you just kind of where we've been and then get into where we're going today with this last message. But there's really been two main themes that we've hit you with, and one of them is that we got to dig a little deeper. That just having a little bit of surface level understanding of the Holy Spirit is not good enough. And even having just a church level understanding of the Holy Spirit is not good enough. That you really need to go home and dig a little deeper. There was a farmer one time, and he had this, he loved potatoes. And so he decided to plant potatoes, right? And he had like an acre of land, not very much at all. And so he had this really small little potato farm is what he called it. And so he planted all these potatoes. And the problem with planting his potatoes is the weather never would cooperate. They would have famines and floods and all at the wrong times. And the poor little potato farmer, he just never could get his little potatoes to grow. And he kept pulling them up, and they would just be these little bitty, nasty, bug-eating potatoes, right? And he never could get his potatoes to really take off. The problem is, if he would have dug a little bit deeper, he was sitting on one of the largest oil reserves in the area. He could have been the richest man in town if he would have learned to dig a little deeper, but he was satisfied with his little surface level, weak potato farm. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of pulling up potatoes. The Holy Spirit is so much deeper than that. And He wants to reveal so much to you, and He wants to do so much through you, and He wants to give you so much power and so much anointing to do all the things that He's asking you to do, but He's going to require you and I to dig a little deeper. Don't stop at 1 foot. Sometimes you got to go a little deeper. The other thing we've been telling you is that we should desire transformation, not comfort. Now, but Pastor, the Bible says the Holy Spirit is a comforter. That's true. The Bible does say He is a comforter. But the Bible also says He transforms us. He changes us. And our desire should always be to change. It should never be to stay the same, right? I've even noticed the past couple of days, and y'all are going to think, wow, my pastor's such a sinner. And I am. And that's what makes me, I guess, likable to some of you, because I'm just like you. You're like, I don't have to look up at Him except for when I'm sitting down, right? And so here's the thing about me is I'm not perfect. And so I noticed the other day some of the ways I was speaking to one of my kids, I had allowed myself to get frustrated. And so I spoke out of frustration and not out of love. And I remember my wife looking at me going, you know, like, you need to stop, chill out, you know, whatever. And I got to thinking later on, I was praying, and it was like God showed me that wasn't the Holy Spirit, that was you. Right? And if I'm going to be transformed by the Spirit, I don't need Him to just transform the way I speak from the pulpit. I need Him to transform the way I speak at home. I need Him to transform all the aspects of my life. And if we're not walking in transformation, you may not be walking in the Holy Spirit. Here's the thing. Sometimes we desire the Spirit, but we don't desire the Holy. See, holy means you got to change. Holy is perfection. Holy is something totally different than just I want to feel good. And we want to have all the feel good, and we want to get the buzz, and we want to get the spiritual high. And God's saying, I want to give you a Holy Spirit that's going to change your life. If we don't have the Holy, we'll never be able to have the Spirit. We talked a couple weeks ago about the gifts. It's the Holy that holds up the gifts. Otherwise, the gifts overwhelm you and you become a hypocrite. Ever wonder why people don't come to church? They say the church is full of hypocrites. It's because the church doesn't understand the holy part of the Holy Spirit. We got to be changed. We got to be transformed. My uncle, my grandfather that I never knew, my dad's stepdad, they called him Pop. I was, you know, not alive, and so I didn't call him anything. And so my grandfather, I think my grandmother just died. His wife just passed away last week, and she was 92 years old. Man, I don't even know if I can make it that long. Like, that's a really long time, you know. And she made it 92 years. And so her husband is who I'm talking about. And when he was raising my dad, him and my grandmother raising my dad, he was very much a racist. He was very much a racist. And in that time period, in the 50s, 60s, 70s, you know, it was just a different world than today. But you could be in church and be a racist. Like, that was just kind of normal for a lot of people. And my dad knew that about my grandfather. And one of the things, they did not have a good relationship. My dad and his stepdad did not have a very good relationship at all. That's why my dad ended up in the Marines at 17 years old, just trying to get away from home, right? And he just wanted to get out of there. And my stepfather was more than willing to sign the paper to let him go into the Marines at 17. And so so my dad wanted to get out of there. They had a bad relationship. But somewhere along the line, maybe after my brother was born, who's older than me, my grandfather got saved. And not only did he get saved, but he got filled with the Holy Spirit. And did you know that the day the Holy Spirit got a hold of his life, he immediately stopped being racist? Isn't that the craziest thing you've ever heard? Like, I hear people sometimes that God gets a hold of their life, and then 3 years later, they get off of drugs. You know what I mean? Like, it takes them a while. But this guy, immediately, racism was broken. That chain we sang about today was broken in his life. And all of a sudden, he began to love people of different race and people of different culture. All of a sudden, in one day. And that's what I'm seeking God for. I'm not preaching these messages to tell you what to do. I'm preaching these messages to tell you what I want out of my life. I'm asking God, not for racism, not racist. I see how that could just get construed right there, you know. I'm not asking God to set me from that chain. I'm asking God to set me free and transform me to be more like Him. Amen? And so that's our desire today. That's our desire. And the only way we get transformation is really from relationship. And we talk about that a lot. But what we talk about a lot is that Jesus wants a relationship with us. God wants a relationship with us. But can I tell you, Jesus, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit are all in one. And so therefore, the Holy Spirit wants a companionship and a relationship with you. He desires to be a part of your life. And here's the thing. The Holy Spirit's companionship cannot be cultivated in one encounter. That's like saying that if you have a really good wedding, that you're going to have a great marriage. That's not true, right? I mean, how many times does one of the Kardashian girls have million-dollar weddings and then their marriages fall apart in 3 weeks? You know what I mean? Like, that's not the case. Weddings don't make good marriages. Cultivation, relationship, time, submission makes good marriages. And so we need to understand the same thing is true with God. What does it do? How do we need to cultivate a relationship with God? Well, if we look at Jesus' life, there's one thing that Jesus does that I think we need to do, and that is He has a secret place. Last week we talked about Mark chapter 9. I want to read Mark chapter 9, verse 9. So in Mark chapter 9, the disciples and Jesus, some of them go up on a mountain. They have this incredible experience with God, right? They see people. They are seeing the glory. They're seeing the name. You're hearing God's voice speak. It's a wonderful, wonderful moment. And then they start coming down the mountain. And as they come down the mountain, look what Jesus says. As they were coming down the mountain, He charged them. commanded them to tell no one what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. Jesus placed value on the secret place. Jesus said, listen, I want you to keep this a secret until it's time for it to be revealed. But for right now, this is a secret. And I'm sure Peter, being one of those guys that talked a lot, probably a lot like me, talked a lot, Peter wanted to go out and just tell everybody what he had seen. Have you ever had one of those secrets that somebody told you and you immediately wanted to go tell people about that secret? I have. Have you ever told anybody the secret? I have. One time, this girl in our youth group decided that she wanted to get a tattoo, right? She wanted to get a tattoo. And her parents had moved to another state, and she needed to finish out her school year. Her parents had to move with just a couple weeks left in the school year. And they said, hey, you know, Gabriel and Perry, can she live with you guys for the last couple of weeks? And I'm like, I don't really want her to, but, you know, whatever. So she moves in with us for the last couple of weeks. And lo and behold, her boyfriend and her decided to go out one night and get tattoos. And I didn't know about it. Perry didn't know about it. But when we came home, we found out, because that joker was like that big. And I was like, look, I wash my hands of this. You know what I mean? Like, you're toast. And so apparently, throughout that conversation, I was supposed to keep that a secret. That was something she was going to talk to her parents about, and they were going to deal with it. And so fast forward, like 3 years later, I'm sitting down at a lunch. I had already moved away from that town, gone back to that town to meet with some folks, and I'm sitting down at lunch with her brother-in-law and sister-in-law, or sister, her sister and brother-in-law, and they were talking about tattoos or something, and I said, yeah, kind of like that one that your sister-in-law got. I had forgotten. See, what happens, I forgot that was supposed to be a secret. And he said, what are you talking about? I said, that big tattoo. Oh, you don't know. I said, I'm not talking about anything. I'm talking about your other sister-in-law. You know, like, I don't know what I'm talking about right now. And so, that turned out really bad. Sometimes God takes us to a secret place. God has a secret place. And what we do is we get this one little touch from God and we go tell everybody about it. And God's saying, hold up now. I need a secret place with you. I need an intimate place with you. If the only time you and I are close is when Anna's up here singing, then we got a problem. If the only time you're hearing my voice is when Christina's singing about breaking chains, then we got a problem, because all you want is a public relationship and you don't want the secret place with me. God's got a secret place and he's inviting you in. Those of you that are married, you have moments of intimacy. If you go out and tell people about your moments of intimacy, guess what? You won't have any more moments of intimacy, right? If your wife tells you a secret and you go tell that secret to everybody, you won't ever get a secret again, or anything else for that matter. The Bible says in Psalm 91:1, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. The nerd in me is about to come out. The word dwell there means to live, right? To live. He who lives makes his home, sets up residence in the shelter. What does shelter mean? Shelter literally translates out to be secret place. Will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. What does it mean to live in the shadow of somebody? Well, I'll tell you right now, I can't be in your shadow if I'm not close to you. But if I can sense your shadow, if I can feel your shadow, if I can see your shadow on my life, it's only because you and I are very, very close. God's saying, if you will learn to make a home, if you will learn to set up shop, if you will learn to enter in to the secret place consistently, then you will live in a close relationship with me. And isn't that what we all want? Don't we want to be close to God? God's saying, if you want to be close to me, don't just have closeness in church. You need to have closeness at home. You need to have closeness in your private life, in a secret place. Well, let me skip on down here. Look at Luke chapter 22. We're going to talk about how do we make the secret place a priority. How do we make the secret place a priority? And some of this is going to really, it'll look a lot like human relationships and our relationship with the Holy Spirit. How do we cultivate this companionship with the Holy Spirit? How do we make that secret place a priority? Look at Luke chapter 22, and we're gonna read verses 39 through 43, and we're gonna just hang out. I got a couple of thoughts that we're gonna pull out of this one passage right here. And this is talking about Jesus' secret place. See, it was not uncommon for Jesus to have a secret place. There are places, there's times in the Bible where he'll be ministering to people, and then next thing you know, he sneaks off to go up on a mountain somewhere, right? I want to get away from everybody, get up on this mountain so I can pray and I can have a secret place with God. So let's look at this. In verse 39, this is the night that Jesus is going to be murdered, okay? So he's struggling, he's dealing with some stuff, and it says, and he came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. Let me just say this as a side note right there. His disciples followed him. Can I just show you today that small groups are important? Jesus is dealing with the heaviest stuff of his life. And he doesn't just go off by himself. He takes people with him. Some of you are dealing with some heavy stuff and you're saying, I don't know why I always struggle with this. I don't know why I can't ever get the victory over this. It may be because you don't have any people around you that will show you how to get in the secret place, that will help you walk in to the secret place. It's important. Verse 40, and when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. Verse 41, and he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And there appeared to him an angel from heaven strengthening him. I want to stop right there. And this is our passage for the day. So this is the only place we're going to go today for a little while. We'll hit one more later. But I want you to look at three quick things about the secret place. Number one, he was consistent. And we need to be consistent in the secret place. We need to be consistent in the secret place. It says there, it was as his custom. As his custom means this was a routine for Jesus to go to the secret place. And what we give God a lot of times is a drive-by secret place. Okay, God, you know what? I'm running out of time. I got to pick up my kids. I got to go do this at work. God, right now, I just pray that you would be with me today. I love you. Talk to you later. Boom, we're out. And the whole time, God's like, I really would like a consistent secret place. I really would like. And look, I'm not telling you every single day. Some of you, you've got the craziest schedules in the world, right? I'm not even telling you that you got to go spend 3 hours with God every single day. I'm not telling you that. I'm just telling you, you need to be consistent with your time alone with God. Look, there are some days, I mean, as soon as that alarm goes off at 4:45, whatever time we have to get up until, 9 o'clock when I'm crashing in my bed, there are some days I feel like I don't have a moment to even think, much less pray. But there's other days when I've got plenty of time. And I think our goal should always be, God, can I make consistent time with you? There's a man that I used to know, and he used to tell this story of how he would go into his calendar, his daily calendar, and he would tell his secretary, I've got an appointment at 2 o'clock. I've got an appointment at 11 o'clock. I've got an appointment at whatever. And he would set these appointments consistently, and he didn't tell his secretary who the appointment was with, but the appointment was with God, that he needed some time to get alone in a secret place on a consistent basis. I'm not asking you for every single day. I'm encouraging you to just be consistent. Maybe you say, you know what, Pastor, right now I'm new to this. What do I do? Hey, find one day a week and say, I'm going to be consistently on this day, at this time, I'm going to seek after God. I'm going to be consistent. And what you'll find is, I think as we do this together, I think what we're going to find is that the more we do it, the more consistent we will become, because the more we're going to enjoy it. With a relationship with another person, consistency is important. If 1 minute you're all lovey-dovey and the next minute you're giving the cold shoulder, right? Then all of a sudden, no one knows how to love you, how to act around you, how to be around you. And with the Holy Spirit, did you know the Bible even says you can grieve the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is sensitive? So therefore, we need to treat the Holy Spirit as though we have a companion in a relationship and be consistent with the Holy Spirit to find that secret place. Number two is we need to remove distractions. Jesus said this. He said, pray that you won't enter into temptation. What kind of temptation are they going to have on a mountaintop with nobody around? I'll tell you what kind of temptation. A distraction temptation. A temptation to start talking about what happened in the football game yesterday. A temptation to start getting sleepy and wanting to take a nap. A temptation to get those snacks out of their bag. A temptation to be distracted. Jesus said, we're going to the secret place. I got some problems. We're going to go pray. We're going to go seek God. We're going to go hear from God. Pray that you won't enter into temptation. Pray that you won't be distracted. And then what does Jesus do? Jesus says, I'm going to go over here. I'm up here with you fellas, but I'm going to go a stone's throw away so that I'm not distracted by y'all snoring, right? Which turns out what it was. I think sometimes God wants us to come into a secret place and we can't find the secret place because we're so distracted by so many other things. I love my kids and they're wonderful people. But if the day comes when I have to sacrifice the secret place for their sporting events, then I'm sorry, they will have to learn to make money some other way. And what we do today is we sacrifice everything we have so that our kids can play travel ball and our kids can be in the ballet and our kids can be the best actors and the best singers and they can do all this stuff. And that's great. They're going to grow up, and they may be the next Michael Jordan. But the problem is, we have never found the secret place, so we live in a potato farm with nothing to offer them. And they grow up to be jacked up because they grew up getting nothing from their parents spiritually. Now, I know I'm preaching a lot better than you're clapping, but we get distracted very easily. We get distracted by our kids and say we love them. But what we've done is we've allowed their lives to control ours. We get distracted by the TV. We get distracted by Facebook. We get distracted by sporting events. Listen, I'm an LSU fan, and we're terrible right now. I sat and watched the worst game I've ever watched yesterday, and I'm watching it like you would watch a train wreck. You know it's bad, but you just can't take your eyes off of it. And when I got done, I thought, you know what? You were distracted. You knew the outcome of the game before it ever started. Why did you stay and watch that whole thing? I'm not saying watching football is bad, but when it becomes a distraction from the secret place, then you need to learn to set it aside. God said you can only serve one God. You can't serve me and a distraction. Sometimes we're so distracted by making money. We're so distracted by getting the guy or getting the girl. We're so distracted by all this stuff. And God says, hey, I need you to set aside the distractions. I need you to pray that you don't enter temptation and focus on what I need you to focus on. I shared a scripture this morning with the core team. I know I told you one of them, but I shared another one with you that said that there's going to come a time in the latter days when people are going to make the mountain of God the highest mountain. What does that mean? It means we may have a lot of mountains in our life, but which one's highest? See, I got a mountain called my kids because I love my kids. I got a mountain called my wife because I love my wife. I got a mountain called this church because I love this church. But if those mountains are higher than God's mountain, then I've got myself out of order. And I need to make God's mountain the highest mountain. And whenever you make God's mountain the highest mountain, when you have no other distractions, then all those other things, Jesus said, will be added unto you. You can get all the other things. You can survive all the other things as long as God's mountain's the highest. But so often, we allow other things to get in the way. We get distracted. The third thing is we're not willing to give up all for all. That may not sound very right, but I want you to look at how we wrote it up here. Give up little A-L-L for big A-L-L. Jesus said, not my will, but yours be done. I think sometimes we forget that a relationship with God, a relationship, a companionship with the Holy Spirit requires submission of your will. You've got to be willing to give up what you think is everything for what He has for you, which is really everything. See, we think all this stuff that we have is all. And I was talking to my son this morning, and we were driving in, and something got said about money. He's got a friend of his that's parents are very wealthy, and they travel the world, and they have a big house, and they have big, nice cars, and his that kid has all the Marvel Legos, and which is, as you can tell with my son, what matters the most. And I said, buddy, you know what? Money's not everything, you know. I said, if you got all the money in the world, but you don't have your family, then you got nothing. And I said, you need to make sure you understand that in life. And for us, we need to understand that all the things that we think are important really should pale in comparison to God. There's a place in the Bible where the Bible says God will take everything that we've built our life up with, and He'll throw it in a fire, and He'll allow it to burn, and then whatever was good is what comes out. And I think what we do is we pile a bunch of hay and stubble, a bunch of things that don't really matter at the end of the day, and it looks like we got a lot of stuff in our life. Look at this big pile. And God said, that's great, man. I'm so proud of you. Look at these wonderful cars, and look at all these friends you have, and look at how many followers you have on Twitter. You're amazing. And then God takes all your stuff and throws it in a fire and says, let's see what comes out. And He pulls out a little piece of gold. He says, oh, yeah, look, you worshiped one time. Way to go, buddy. I think we all got that kind of nervous laugh, like, uh-oh, that might be me. Our life should be more than just stuff, right? God says the only thing coming out of that fire is gold and silver, the things that matter. We got to learn to give up all so that we can get all. I'm not saying you can't have nice stuff. I'm not saying you can't have friends and all that kind of stuff. I'm just saying you got to be willing to lay it down. Jesus said, you're not really going to be a follower of me if you're not willing to give up your own family. That's stout. Like, that's a hard teaching right there. Of all the things Jesus teaches, that's the hardest for me. Because I think, I don't want to give up my family. I don't want to give up my wife and my kids. And He says, yeah, but do you love them more than you love me? If you do, something's wrong. But what I've learned is if I love Him more than I love them, then He helps me love them more. Right? Give up all for all. The last thing is this, is if you want to dwell in the secret place, and you want to protect, and you want to prioritize, and you want to make the secret place of value, then you have to ask the right questions. And not just ask the right questions, but ask them in the right way. Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 13. Now the disciples came to Jesus, and they said, hey, teach us how to pray. Like, we see you going in the secret place. Like, you got God showing up in your secret place, right? You got all this cool stuff happening in your secret place. Teach us how to do that. And so that's where we get the verse or the passage that talks about the Lord's Prayer. In the Lord's Prayer, you know, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then I probably forgot the rest. Just kidding, I didn't. And so we get the Lord's Prayer. But what we forget is verse 5 is still in the same conversation. It's the same conversation. So Jesus says, here's a pattern for your prayer, but now let me give you the heart behind your prayer. It's good to have the pattern. And what we do sometimes in church is we have a whole lot of good patterns, right? Get up, let's sing 3 songs, let's greet everybody and serve some fruit, and then show a little video, and then Gabriel comes up and preaches, and then we close out. We have a lot of good patterns. And Jesus says the pattern is necessary, it's essential, but you also have to have the heart behind it. So let's look at the heart real quick, and then we'll close. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. That friend will be stuck outside if he was my friend. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. Verse 7. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me, the door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. Verse 8. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, underline that, shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Verse 9, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and those who knock, the door will be open. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? Sometimes we stop right here because we think, this is how I'm going to get my blessing. This is how I'm going to get my money. This is how I'm going to get my car. This is how I'm going to get my healing. And we start thinking, Jesus is teaching us to ask for stuff. But look what he says in verse 13. Then, if you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So, Jesus isn't saying anything about your stuff. He didn't say anything about money or healing. He didn't say anything about a ministry. He said, you should be asking the right question. And the right question is, can I have the Holy Spirit? And not only should you ask for the Holy Spirit, you should ask it in such a way that it is shameless and audacious. Yesterday we set up a Christmas tree at our house. Big old Christmas tree. We set this Christmas tree up, and Perry and I are tired, man. We'd gotten up early. We had kids spend the night at our house, and we came to the church. We did the outreach, and she, you know, went and did really hard work getting her nails done, and then came home, and I've got the Christmas tree up, and she's decorating the Christmas tree, and she's tired, and I'm kind of tired, and LSU's about to get, you know, beat on TV in a few minutes, and so we got this stuff going on in our heads, and Emma, my daughter, comes in, and she's like, Dad, Mom, will you set up my Christmas tree? Because we always let the kids set up a little Christmas tree in their room. And Perry said, yeah, well, let us get done with this, and then we'll see, you know, when we're going to do it. And so 5 minutes later, when are you going to set up my Christmas tree? Will you please set up my Christmas tree? And Perry finally said, listen, I'm going to take a nap in a minute. Like, when I get done with this, I want to lay down, and we'll talk about it after my nap. And so Emma was just sat there, and then she pouted, and she was all sullied up. So then we go downstairs. I go downstairs. I'm watching the game, and she comes down, and she's like, Dad, at halftime, will you set up my Christmas tree? I'm like, no, man, leave me alone. You know, like, there's no way. I don't even want to set up your mom's Christmas tree, much less your Christmas tree. You know, I'm not that dad. And so then she comes out after the game. Is it time to set up my Christmas tree yet? I mean, and I told her, I said, if you ask me one more time, I'll throw that Christmas tree in the trash. See, that wasn't the Holy Spirit. That was definitely me. But guess what I did? I went in the garage, and I got the Christmas tree, and I brought it back inside, and then I let Perry set it up. Right? Shameless audacity is persistent boldness. Emma was willing to persistently ask for the tree, shamelessly, knowing she was making us mad. Understanding in her mind, my parents are getting aggravated, and there could be consequences, but I want my tree. And I'm going to keep asking until somebody gets off their bottom. That's what she would think, right? She doesn't say other words. And goes and gets me a Christmas tree. And this morning, when I was reading this verse, it made me think about her. Because what we do sometimes is we go to God and we say, God, I just really want your Holy Spirit, you know. If you could just give me your Holy Spirit. And then I don't feel anything, so then we leave. And we don't ever ask again. And we come back and we say, yeah, I tried the Holy Spirit stuff, Pastor. It didn't work for me. It didn't work. It always works. I mean, he can't not work. Maybe he's waiting on somebody to be shameless and audacious and persistent and bold and say, you know what? If I have one secret time with God and nothing happens, then I'll have another one. And if I have two, then I'll have another one. And I'll keep going back until I get the Christmas tree. I will keep asking and keep asking and keep asking. And what we're so used to is if I ask one time and I don't get what I want, then something's wrong, God's broken, or I'm terrible. And God's saying, neither one of these things are true. I just want to see how much you really want it. How bad do you want to be transformed? How bad do you want the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? Is it bad enough to go home and turn off the TV? Is it bad enough to put your phone down and put it on airplane mode for 5 minutes? Is it bad enough to seek my face and read some scripture and worship me? How bad do you want it? And then we got to pray for the Holy Spirit. I'm gonna talk about this next week. It's going to be my theme. This thought is going to be my theme for the next few messages. But it is this. We need to stop worrying so much about what we do and start worrying about who we are. And the more we worry about who we are, then what we do will be the byproduct of who we are. That may be confusing. But what I mean is this. If we can learn to fill our life up with the Holy Spirit, with the character of Jesus Christ, and stop worrying about, am I doing the right thing? And do I need to do this? And do I need to do that? And start worrying about, who am I? Who's living inside of me? What kind of character, what kind of fruit do I have coming up inside of me? And if we learn to cultivate a companionship with the Holy Spirit, then out of that relationship will be birthed all the stuff that we need to do in life. Jesus says, ask and you'll receive. Knock and the door will be opened. What are we asking for? What are we knocking for? The Holy Spirit. Not our stuff. The Holy Spirit.
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamilychurch.com.